truth? That was a question that Pilate asked when Jesus said that he had come to earth to be witness to the truth. In that lesson this morning, we saw the answer, or at least five answers to that question. What is truth? Number one, truth is a person. Truth is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Secondly, truth is the revelation of God's mind to mankind. Thirdly, truth is fact that will always endure. Fourthly, we noted that truth is a love letter from God to man. And lastly, we saw that truth is a teacher that educates mankind in spiritual things. In this lesson, we want to continue to answer the question, what is truth? And we're going to do that by looking at five more answers to the question. Number one, what is truth? Folks, truth is the key to freedom. In the world today, you and I are either servants of righteousness or we are slaves to sin. Paul makes note of that in Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Those enslaved by Satan, those who are caught in the clutches of sin and iniquity, those individuals desperately need to be free. And there's only one way for any individual to ever be freed from sin, and that is by truth. You see, truth is the key that opens the door, that allows us to exit the bondage of slavery. Isn't that what Jesus said in John 8:32? And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This morning we talked about Jesus being the truth. In fact, he says he is in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now listen to what he says in John 8:36. If the Son set ye free, ye shall be free indeed. You see, it takes truth to set man free. My friends, that truth is revealed to us in the pages of Scripture. This book is known as the Law of Liberty. And Paul says that it is by this book that you and I can be made free from our sins. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Every individual who yields themselves in obedience to this book can be truly free from sin and from iniquity. Truth sets one free. Now here's something that the world needs to understand. There are not many truths that will set us free. You see, the world believes that the opinions of men can set us free. The world believes that the creeds of men can set us free. The world believes that the religions of the world can set us free. But folks, the fact of the matter that there is only one truth, and that one truth can set us free from sin. The Bible says that this truth is the word of the truth of the gospel, Ephesians 1:13. The Bible refers to this one truth as the faith, Ephesians 4, verse 5, and it refers to it as the gospel of our salvation. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Only the gospel, only the word of truth, only the faith of Jesus Christ will ever set any soul free from sin. But it is the key to freedom. Point number two. The truth is a compass that points the way. I want us to think for just a minute. If man is here because he just evolved, then that man has absolutely no purpose whatsoever for his existence. Isn't that true? Well, we might say this: his sole reason for existence is to evolve to a higher more complicated, more sophisticated manner of life. Now, wouldn't that be something? Every one of us wakes up every morning, and in our minds we have this thought, you know, today I need to evolve into a higher form of life. Who thinks like that? Folks, the reality is this. The individual in evolution has absolutely no control over the process. Evolution has the control of individuals becoming better and better and better. In other words, that's not even our purpose. We just wake up each morning, as far as evolution is concerned, and we just go through life with no purpose whatsoever. Ask an evolutionist sometime, what is man's purpose on this earth? Listen to what one said. There is no purpose to life. And we should not want to be. We should not want there to be a purpose to life, because if there was, that would cheapen life. Folks, that's the words of an atheist by the name of Dan Baker, who is debating with a creationist by the name of James White. There is no purpose to life. You don't want any purpose to life. You just want to wake up and just do whatever you want to do, because if you had some purpose, that would cheapen your life. Now, not all atheists think exactly like that. Some atheists think this. Our purpose of life is this: to eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. At least you've got some reason to wake up this morning, don't you? All I'm going to do is just eat, drink, be merry, because one of these days I'm going back to the dust. And many people live their lives like that, don't they? Other atheists might say something like this: our purpose is to render assistance to our fellow man and to our planet. My question to those would be this: why? Why is that my purpose? Who gave me that purpose? That's just your thoughts about what my purpose is supposed to be, isn't it? Because the reality is this: if I've just evolved, I don't have any purpose whatsoever. Why is my purpose to take care of you? Are you kidding me? And then there's some that say this: our purpose is to stretch our knowledge and to stretch our abilities just as far as we possibly can stretch them. And again, I ask the question, why? I spend my whole life getting just as smart as I can possibly be. I spend all my life stretching my abilities just as far as I can stretch them, and then I croak. What good was my life? Folks, the reality is it meant absolutely nothing. But if there's truth, and there is, in God's Word, then guess what? You and I have purpose, don't we? Psalm 119, verses 104 and 105. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. That's what verse 104 says. You see, by studying, reading, meditating upon the Word of God, I know the paths not to take in life. I hate the false ways. And then he says this: thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Not only does it tell me the paths not to take, it enlightens the path that I am supposed to take. You see, the Word of God gives me purpose. The Word of God directs me. This is the path that you are supposed to follow. Prophet Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 6, verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. You see, the Word of God provides me a path to tread. The Word of God tells me this is the road that you're supposed to take every day of your lives. And God says, ask for the old paths. Stand in those paths. Walk in those paths, because it gives purpose to life. I love 2 Peter 1 verse 3. According as thy divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Folks, through the knowledge of God's will, you and I have everything we need for life and godliness. I have everything that I need to enjoy a rich, full, abundant, animated life here, and I have everything that I need to have a special, unique relationship with the Almighty God that will save me in the last day. You see, the Bible teaches me how to treat my neighbor, doesn't it? Love thy neighbor as thyself. The Bible teaches us how to rear our children, doesn't it? And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The Bible tells us how you and I are to conduct ourselves as we work on our jobs on a daily basis. Whatsoever thy hand find to do, do it with thy might. The Bible teaches us about church involvement, doesn't it? The Bible teaches us about being a good citizen of our nation. The Bible teaches us about how to control our emotions, especially the old negative emotion of anger. Be angry and sin not. The Bible teaches us about how you and I are to fight against sin. The Bible teaches us to prepare for death. The Bible teaches us what we need to do in order to be saved. The Bible teaches us how to share the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. There is not one aspect, not one component of your life that God somehow, somewhere does not address in this book. All things for life and godliness are in the gospel, are in the truth of our Lord. You see, this book is a compass and points the direction as to how you and I are to live every day of our lives. Point number three. Truth is a rock that endures. Man can do a lot of things to truth, and we talked about some of these this morning in our first lesson. If man wants to, he can ignore the truth, can't he? If a man wants to, he can speak against the truth, and there are many who do just that. An individual can deny the truth. An individual, if he wants to, can disobey the truth. And if an individual wants to, he can do everything in his power in order to try to destroy the truth of God's Word. But folks, here's the reality. Man will never, never remove truth from the earth. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall what? Never pass away. I want you to listen to two quotes, two different individuals. You'll know both of these individuals once we tell you who they are. But listen to these quotes about the Bible. Here's the first one. The Word of God, notice the little g, not a capital G. That's intentional. The Word of God is for me nothing more than the expression and product of human weakness. The Bible is a collection of honorable but still primitive legends which are nevertheless pretty childish. Is that the way you view the Word of God? It's just a book that was written because of human weakness. Just a collection of a bunch of legends which, yeah, they're pretty good stories. They're honorable, but guess what? They sure are pretty childish. Adam and Eve in a garden talking to a snake. See, that's the way they look at the Bible. Who made the quote? Albert Einstein. One of the smartest men who ever lived, was he not? But here's what I find interesting. 1955 rolled around, and guess what happened to Albert Einstein? He died, folks. And guess what? The truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ is still here, isn't it? 65 years later, and the truth of the gospel is still present with us today. And Albert Einstein is now food for worms, isn't he? Here's another statement. The Bible. That is what fools have written. What imbeciles commend. So in other words, what I'm doing up here today is making myself an imbecile. as far as this man is concerned, and what rogues teach. So I'm not only an imbecile, I'm a rogue. And what young children are made to learn by heart. That's a high view of Scripture, isn't it? It was made by another atheist, an atheist by the name of Voltaire. Voltaire died in 1778. Voltaire died almost 250 years ago. And guess what, folks? The precious truth of the gospel of Christ is still here. It's a rock that endures. You let any man at any time in history rise up, speak against the Word of God, fight against the Word of God, try to take the Word of God out of the earth, and he will never do it. Why? Because all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. And the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Peter says exactly what we're talking about, folks. Flesh dies, doesn't it? Even the most glorious individual, a flower of all humanity, ultimately perishes, but the Word of God will never, ever be taken from the earth. You see, this book is a rock that will endure forever. Point number four. Truth is the enemy of the world, isn't it? Again, we note that Jesus is what? Jesus is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Was Jesus an enemy of the world? All we need to do is read John 1, 10 and 11. He was in the world. And the world was made by him, and what? The world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. Can you imagine? Folks, the person of truth enters into this world. He's the one who created it, and what did the world do? They had no clue who he was. He came to his own Jewish people, and what did they do? They knew him not. They took him and crucified him on the cross of Calvary. Truth was rejected by mankind. And likewise, men despise the truth that's found in this book, don't they? They hate it. We have many passages that talk about it. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 29. For that ye hated knowledge and chose not the fear of the Lord. Isaiah, talking about the children of God in Isaiah 30 and verse 9, says this, that they are a rebellious people, lying children, children that have not heard the word of the Lord. And we mentioned 2 Thessalonians 2:10 this morning, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, for they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. The Bible tells us over and over about individuals who do not care about, who do not love, who are not concerned about the truth of God's Word. The question that we ask is what? Why? Why do so many hate the Scripture? That could be a 10-point lesson in and of itself, could it not? Number one. Truth holds men accountable to a standard, doesn't it? You can't live any way you want to live. Not and be pleasing to God. There is a standard that God has set up, and you have to live up to this standard in order to be acceptable unto Him. And folks, people don't want to live up to a standard. Number two. Because it means that an individual has to submit himself to God rather than submitting themselves to their own will. I want to do what I want to do. I don't want to do what God wants me to do. And therefore they hate the truth. Number three, it reminds man of their wickedness and their evil. You see, man likes to think of himself as being good. Man likes to think of himself as being upright. Man likes to think of himself as being strong and powerful and wonderful. We are the crown of the evolutionary process, are we not? And God's word says, oh no. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And fourthly, men hate the truth because it demands that man has to change, doesn't it? If you want to be right with God, you've got to repent. If you want to be right with God, you must die to that old way of living. If you want to be right with God, you must bury that old man of sin. Mortify your members which are upon the earth and do what God desires for you to do. And folks, change is not easy for most. You see, truth is the enemy of the world. Lastly, truth is a judge that sentences man. There's two verses we'll look at very briefly. The first is found in the Old Testament. Notice what it says. Before the Lord, for He cometh. For He cometh to what? To judge the world. I mean the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and His people with His what? Truth. Paul makes mention of judgment as well in Romans 2 verse 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is what? According to truth. Against them which do such things. One of these days, man will stand toe-to-toe, eyeball to eyeball with God, and this book will be his judge. I find it interesting that it won't be the thoughts and opinions of Victor that will judge me. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Because I could tell you a lot of wonderful things about me. But it's not going to be that. It's going to be this book, isn't it? And what's scary is that every one of us in here are going to hear one of two sentences. And the Bible fabricates those sentences in several different ways in Scripture. How about this? Well done, or thou wicked and slothful servant. Folks, which sentence do you really want to hear? Perhaps it will be this. Enter in or depart from me. Can you imagine standing there at the judgment scene? And our Lord says, enter in to the person before you. You see that individual enter into those beautiful pearly gates, into that holy city, and then you stand before him. And he says to you, depart from me. Or it could be this, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, or everlasting fire. It could be these words, glory, honor, immortality, peace. Folks, isn't that what we're supposed to be living for? Glory, honor, immortality, and peace. Or are we going to hear indignation, wrath, tribulation, and anguish? It's one of the two. Rest or torment, heaven or hell. A city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God, or a lake which burns with fire and brimstone. You see, there's only one of two places, one of two sentences that I will experience when I stand before God in the last day. What is truth? It involves a ton of elements, doesn't it? In the course of the two lessons that we've presented today, there are 10 answers that we have given to that one question. When we understand what truth is, If we really comprehend what truth is, folks, it is not something that you and I need to be playing with, is it? Truth is to be honored, it is to be heard, and it is to be heeded. That's our responsibility to God's Word. We close with one question at the end of the first session. We close with one question at the end of this lesson. It's simply this: what will you do with truth? Earlier we read from the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 6:16. Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. You would think that every human being would say, yes, give me that way. Yes, let me walk in that way. Yes, let me find the rest that is at the end of that road. I didn't quote the whole verse, but the last few words say this: but they said, we will not walk therein. You see, we are free moral agents, aren't we? And you and I have a decision to make. What will I do with truth? My friend, are you walking in the way of truth, or have you stood before God, looked Him in the eye and said, I refuse to walk in truth? One group will be saved, one group will be lost. You need to obey the gospel this morning. Don't leave here having not done that. The steps are too simple, aren't they? Having heard the word, we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We repent of our sins. We confess the beautiful name of Jesus. And we yield ourselves in submission to the command to be baptized. We bury that old man of sin in the waters of baptism. Jesus' blood cleanses us and we arise a new creature in Christ Jesus. Do you need to do that this morning? Maybe you're an erring child of God. You've not really been walking in truth. And you need to come back and put yourself on that straight and narrow. If you need to respond to the invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?